Well, Matt Stenghele, it's great to see you. And we've enjoyed reading your posts, your Facebook posts, and your emails, and just some great things been happening there. Not to mention some challenges along the way, too. But just kind of maybe start with just an update of what has happened very recently. Some people may have seen your newsletter, others perhaps not.
Yeah, we've had some really exciting past several months here, which began with planting the first church out of our church, First Presbyterian Church of Norway. We just planted a church on Reformation Sunday about 70 kilometers or 70 minutes, I should say, away from our church in a town called Ueland. And there we planted Berea Presbyterian Church, or in English, we'd say Berean Presbyterian Church, but the Norwegian word is Berea Presbyterianska Kirka. And so that's our first church plant. We sent off three kind of families as a core group to start that work, and they all live in the mountain region of that area. And so we're really excited, and that church is doing well now. We continue to meet with them regularly as well. So that's really a huge praise, a huge step forward for the mission. And then in December, we were able to register the first Norwegian Presbyterian denomination, the Presbyterian Church in Norway in English, or the official name in Norwegian is Den Presbyterianske Kirken i Norge. And so we're really excited about that, and we have a few churches partnering together to get that work going as well. So yeah, those are a couple very exciting things in addition to the ordinary means of grace work that's going on at FPC Norway.
The registration for the denomination, had that been in the works for a while, or did you just do that and it came back immediately at that time?
We had been working for several months, well, all the way back to the summer, working with an attorney or a team of attorneys, and as well as working with some accountants to get kind of all the stuff in order for our church, for BPK, Berea, and for the denomination. And things like writing bylaws and all of this stuff. We had some stuff that was set up early on for us when Deborah and I first came, or shortly thereafter. But this summer, it was really our goal to get a lot of this stuff in a more kind of solid Presbyterian kind of setup. So we've been working with experts to get that going. So we first started with the bylaws for our church and getting that in order. And then we worked, once we had that template, then we could work on the bylaws for our church plant. And then we used the PCA's bylaws as a foundation for the denomination and that registration process. So that was the last thing to kind of get put in place. So a lot of this has been in the works for some time. And, but it kind of was made official, at least in the eyes of the government, in December. So we praise God for that.
And were the attorneys and accountants that were working with you, were they just kind of outside the church, or were some of them really affiliated with you too?
No, they're all outside of the church, and we had some of our partners in the PCA that helped us find a good attorney team, and so that was very helpful for us, and we're really glad we did it. Kind of one example, beyond the fact of just, it's nice to know that you're doing things legally from the eyes of the Norwegian government, which is really important. It also gets done a lot quicker. It really turns, and it's probably just because a lawyer talking to the government makes things go a lot quicker than if you're not a lawyer trying to move things forward with the government. So we were expecting it to take several months to get the denomination officially registered, and it happened within a matter of weeks once our attorneys submitted the information. So it does pay. Paid help pays off. A lot of times, yeah. In this case, it really did, you know.
Yeah. And well, that's great. Just to hear that, all those are major milestones for you in terms of really being established. But then the human side of this, just you've been writing about people from, you know, kind of around the world almost, just a variety of ethnicities coming to be a part of this. What is it that's drawing them? I mean, obviously the gospel and the, perhaps the fellowship, but what draws them to you?
A number of ways. I would say the dominant one, though, is the Holy Spirit. We've had several people that have just come without any organic or relational connection to the church. They might have heard about us online. I mean, that's a common way, because that's kind of advertising in the 21st century that they found us. But that way, and just came. And then there are people who wanted to hear the word of God preached. And that's why they're looking for a church that preaches the word and not man-centered topical messages. And they've stuck. And we also have been working really hard as a core group and a small church to focus on relationships as well, and to welcome people in and to create a community and a family environment for people who have come in. And I think that, you know, that fruit of the gospel, I would say, is also contagious. It's drawing other people want to be part of that as well. So those would be just a few ways. There are some relational connections, some word of mouth things, but it's been amazing how much our social media presence has had an impact in getting the word out across the country. So we had a lady come down from Bergen on Christmas, at Christmas time. And she's visited once before. She lives in Bergen. But she found out about us, I think, through Heart Cry Ministry, and then talking to a pastor in that network, and then finding out about us. So it doesn't seem like there's one way. I want to speak on the spiritual and the our side of the equation, but it's the Spirit drawing people through a whole number of means. But then they know that we exist usually by our website or that presence when people are Googling for stuff. Yeah.
And you're live streaming, I assume, still, is that posted through the website as well, that people are watching from other nearby places, but even far away places, perhaps?
Yeah, we've been, we've only live streamed, now that we can meet physically, we've only live streamed through Zoom with people that are already connected to our network. So we haven't been publicly posting our live stream since we were able to meet in person again. Our session is talking about that going forward, maybe more of a long-term solution. But we've felt it's really important right now in the early days of the church to focus on building a solid foundation for our church. So we haven't done a lot of public advertisement of the ministry or of the church at this point, because we want a solid core. So we had, like, you know, if you've been following the newsletter, we had five families transition. Most of them going back to the States as expatriates. So we were down to a small group. And then we had three families join us, Norwegian families join us that we ended up sending out as a church plant. And they kind of already had a preformed group. So we were focusing on that. And now we're really focusing on building our church in Stavanger. And we want to have a solid core before doing more broad live streaming and advertising like that, because we have a lot of baby Christians in our church, and you know, there's like a tension between trying to grow and expand and trying to grow deep and solid, and it's really this the burden of our hearts as the session here at FPC to focus this season on growing the group in our church, and as well as the core of BBK, of our other church plan, and just spending time making sure we have a solid foundation before we focus on expanding too much.
We've wondered, I mean, to some extent, the live streaming has made it just convenient for people to stay home and not engage in exactly what you're wanting to do by physical presence. So
That's definitely a big factor in our decision as well. While at the same time, there's several people that live, I mean, hours, like 5 or 12 hours away. And there's not a church in their area that preaches expositionally. And so we kind of have that tension of wanting people to be physically present and not encourage them to stay home and just tune in that way. But also dealing with the reality that at least here in this country, there's not always an accessible church that's faithfully preaching the word. And that's the tension that we feel. And also what's driving our prayer for church planters, obviously, so that we can plant churches in those other regions too.
Yeah. And you've written, man, maybe speaking of church planters, going from that, you've had several men, I think I recall a picture of at least three men that were sort of doing seminary or pre-seminary level work with some of the schools here, in the U.S. Are they part of the expansion plan, or are they more integral to what your congregation at this point now?
Yeah, I'd say that these guys are pretty integral to our current congregations. And they themselves need a lot of training and they know it. And so we're working, with that. We created a course called the Timothy Course, which is what we're doing right now and, using various resources to help train these guys. So right now they're working on, we've been focusing for, I've lost track of how many months, but I'm preaching from each genre of scripture, the six major genres, like Old Testament narrative, wisdom literature, prophetic, gospels, epistles, and then apocalyptic. And, so we're working on that, and these guys are preaching. We meet every other Wednesday, and they're preaching from pre-selected texts. And they're watching lectures and doing that kind of thing. We're growing. We're talking about preaching. And then they get to self-critique each other, which is really good as well. And it's really a joy to see these brothers growing as preachers of the word. Because long term, that's how the ministry will grow. It's by solid preachers preaching the word of God and the Spirit working through that. We've talked about some other seminary options down the road, but that's what we're focusing on right now. One of the brothers in that group has been doing some work with Briarwood's seminary with Birmingham Theological Seminary, and some of that's been on pause because he's also helping us get a lot of our foundational stuff set up at the church, so we kind of overloaded it. He already works another job, so these guys have you know, limited time and bandwidth. Everyone but myself is bivocational, so we also have to kind of work with the realities of that. But we would really love to have some kind of seminary format set up for these guys in the future, and maybe that can come sooner than later. But it's all just a balance of what you want done and what you feel you can responsibly get done. You know, in the time, but, yeah, every other Wednesday we meet with these guys, and we appreciate your prayers for them and that the Lord would raise up, more guys like them that feel a call to ministry and to church plant. And who knows, maybe at some point we do send some of these guys out to another place, but we're also just in a season where we are praying fervently for laborers for the harvest, because there's so much work that needs to be done. And, you know, we're limited. I feel myself in a bit of a Jethro kind of moment where we're like, you know, the father figures to a lot of babes in the faith who love the Lord and love the word, but have a lot to learn. And, you know, Deborah and I, we have a lot to learn ourselves. So we're praying for that, but we're praying for some church elder statesmen to come and to help and to build this thing. But we want to see it grow, but we also want to do it responsibly and biblically and faithfully as well.
Are you familiar with Third Mill?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Birmingham Theological Seminary. So,
yeah, we love Third Mill. Which is a great resource as well. In Birmingham, Ike Reeder and those guys have been really helpful to us as we've sought to get some of these guys training.
There, I haven't seen you mention this in the last few reports, but I don't know how far back it was. You're looking to acquire a property. There was a property with a large building that could be, I guess, home for the church, but maybe even home for you too. What's that looking like at this point?
Yeah, that's been sitting there literally, physically, and also kind of in our minds. We drive by it regularly. Every time we drive by it, Deborah prays about it when we drive by in the car. But at this point, it's just kind of sitting there potentially. You know, we could pursue doing that. But with just kind of when we looked at, I would just say ministry priorities, with the expatriate families that left earlier in the year to new assignments, and us rebuilding kind of our core group and expanding that, we felt like we've been really praying, as I mentioned in our newsletters, for long-term Norwegian and international core group members so that we have what we feel is like more of a stable group of church members to weather the expatriates that come and go. And we've just felt a little bit like we need to pause and wait and make sure we have more of a stable group before we move forward with a project like that. So it's there, but it's kind of on a hold for the moment.
I wanted to ask you about your family, but first let me just kind of pause, see if there are other questions from anybody that's on with us or here in the room.
My only question I'll get with Tom, for some reason I can't get your messages, your newsletters, and I was depending on Tom to send them to me, but
I failed to do that.
I don't know whether you can send them to me directly. Is there a security problem or?
I'm not sure why you're not able to. Maybe we could talk after the recording and figure that out. How does that sound?
Yeah, that would be good, but I'm going to have Tom to help me because I am.
Okay.
I take
Tom. Include my in.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I think we tried this before. I sent you Bubba's email and for some reason he was having trouble with it still, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us family and we know Luke was mentioned particularly, but how's everybody in the family doing?
Yeah, I think, how is everybody? And sometimes you have to just pause. Somebody has to ask you that question, so you take a moment to pause and think about it. I think as far as the children go, our three youngest, William, Penelope, and Mariah, are settling in pretty well to the local neighborhood school here. And their language acquisition skills are pretty good. They're pretty good speaking Norwegian now, and they get along well. They have the benefit of being young and being able to absorb that stuff really quickly. Luke, it was really on the cusp when we brought him here. You know, and he's just at that part of life where school gets harder, but also the language acquisition gets harder as well. And so that's made it a particular challenge for him as we put him into the regular public Norwegian school here. So we are, Deborah and I are praying and thinking about how do we help Luke with that and what the options are. There's not a clear or ideal option, out there. So, this is something just right now in real time we're thinking and praying about. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that. A big one would be for some friends for Luke that are local. We've had a lot of lovely people reach out to say, hey, you know, it'd be great to have my kid connect with your kid and online, and which we really appreciate. But for, you know, for kids, like what's real is what's right here in front of you. And so Luke has a couple friends online, like here at Trinity, for example, that he loves to connect with, just absolutely loves it. But we also need some friends for him here, you know, physically, locally for him as well. He has one friend that lives in the city center from the language learning school that they were at last year. But we're praying that the Lord would give a few pals that he could have that he goes to school with as well. So that's maybe one of the bigger prayer items for the kids. But overall, please pray for their spiritual and emotional and as well as educational development as we think about the presence in the long term for the kids. We'd like to give them an education that allows them either to stay in Norway with us when they move out of the house, or that would allow them to go back to the States if that would be their desire as well. So, you know, that's one of those things that all missionary families deal with, thinking about the short-term and long-term needs for the kids. And so we'd appreciate your prayer there. Deborah and I think we're doing pretty well. We've really enjoyed having both sets of parents visit in the last few months. My parents were finally able to come out this fall. It had been 2 years since we had seen them in person. And then Deborah's parents came out just before Christmas, and they'll be leaving at the end of this week. So we've enjoyed having them here, and Deborah's parents gave us a gift of time by letting Deborah and I go away for a few days, and they watched the kids. So that was really nice to have that check-in for Deborah and I. So I think we're doing all right. We're getting more used to the darkness in the wintertime. We're starting to learn, you know, just be more enculturated. And so I think things are getting better that way.
Yeah. Yeah, the days are getting teeny weeny bit longer each day. Yep. Not noticeable probably for you yet, but yeah.
That's right.
The secular schools, you know, we hear so much about extremely secular schools in the Scandinavian countries, godless even certainly, but how do your kids sort of react to that?
Each kid reacts differently. We have a lot of family discussions about it. My son, he's in the, you know, the logic stage right now. So he's learning about leftism, and you know, so he talks about leftists a lot in school. So we talk about, you know, politics and how that works, conservative and liberal and big government, small government, socialism, capitalism. You know, that's a lot of the stuff that he likes talking about right now. And of course, then we've talked also about just because you're conservative politically or economically doesn't mean that you're conservative socially. So he's like learning about, you know, conservative or liberal moralism and all of that kind of stuff, morality as well. And so they're getting a lot of categories to think about. But there's, you know, I since you're posting this online, I don't know how much I should say about all of that, but it's a real live issue. For them, you know, having classmates that come from, if I just put it this way, from non-traditional family backgrounds in light of the new social mores, you know, they see a lot of stuff. And also when they were in the language learning school with a lot of immigrant children coming from war-torn countries in the Middle East and the 1040 window, they've also really experienced the darkness, I would say, both in Norway and in that the Norwegian school and that school. They've experienced the darkness of reality without the gospel. And in fact, that became a huge apologetic for William as well, who was who had always grown up in a Christian bubble. He's like, okay, is God real? Is the gospel? Is this real? Is all this? And because it was all he knew. But then he's experienced the darkness by being in this language school, and the Lord really used that to affirm the truth of the gospel and the reality of God. in his life. So this has been a very big educational experience for them, and the Lord's using it in their lives. So we have that tension, I think, as parents to protect our children always, to protect and shield. But it's also the Lord uses those things to help affirm truth. At least I think if you're intentionally parenting, that you can help them understand what they're experiencing, and that actually can be a great living apologetic for them.
Yeah. And remind me, how old is Will?
So Will is 11 now. Yeah. So Luke just turned 13, and so he's 13, 11, 9, and 7 for the girls as well.
Yeah. The boys are in this tough ages. Not that mm-hmm. that aren't different phases too, but well, we would like to pray for you. But anything else you just would like to tell us, Matt?
Oh man, if we only have the time. But I think, you know, I gave you the main things. I shared recently on our Staying Hellies in Norway group on Facebook, but we would just really covet your prayers for the word of the Lord to increase and prevail mightily through the ministry. We'd just love it if you would pray that the Lord would add many families, long-term families to our churches this year. And pray for the denomination that the Lord would bless and protect and grow that work. And then pray that the Lord would add new leaders, would raise up new leaders and church planters to join our team in this year ahead. And then, you know, as I shared already, just for our family as well. You know, with all these good things, the enemy is also at work in a lot of ways. And so pray for spiritual protection over the ministry and over all the families and people involved. Because that's just a living thing. That, I mean, the enemy hates that we're here. It's very easy to be pagan in Norway. It's very socially acceptable, and it's very socially odd to be Christian, even though there is a large surface level, I would say, membership in the former state church, but that really doesn't mean anything at all. So, just pray, because we feel on the front lines of the battle, you know, in a different way than, let's say, if you're a missionary, say, in the Middle East, for example, or something. We're on the front lines in a different way, but it very much feels like we're in the frontier, and the enemy knows our vulnerabilities. So please pray that God would protect us and our people.
Yeah.
Well, it only seems that way because that is the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Satan's alive and well everywhere. He just takes different forms and practices to bombard us. But, yeah. Well, okay. Bubba, can I ask you, would you start? Anybody else, please pray.
Go ahead. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this time for being able to listen to Matt, hear what's going on there, and just be so encouraged by hearing about the word going out into Norway, into a difficult climate. Not only is it physically cold, but I think it's spiritually cold also. So we lift him up. We lift up the leadership, the people that are there, that you would strengthen the churches. You would strengthen the membership with the families that would come in and stay, those that are local and those that come in and out, and that you would build around the true gospel, the true word through the Holy Spirit would create a revival there, Lord, to see things happen. Said that there's so many people there and that are Christians in name only. They have the name on the list. Lord, that needs to be changed so that they have you, the Holy Spirit, in their hearts. And we would just see a real excitement for the church and for the kingdom there. And Lord, I do lift up this family. Lord, they've taken a major step forward and a sacrifice to leave this country to go over there and learn a new language, a new culture, new people. So be with them. Be with Matt and Deborah, particularly be with the children, Lord. It's just difficult time in the life for Luke, as he is probably in that difficult teen years for young men, and also for Will, Lord, that you would encourage him, that he would find some friends, Lord, Christian friends that would help him in working through some of these areas that he just normally we work through with that age. But you would be with him, you would be with the girls also. But Lord, I just really think about the boys that you would be with them at this difficult time. So, and Lord, that you might even bring the right people around them. And we always need people around us to help us and encourage us and teach us and we walk through these difficult times. So I pray that you would be with them. So, too, Lord, add the families that they need, add the leaders, Lord, that it would be solidly based on you, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Lord. It would be a church that really is on fire for you. So I just thank you for this time. I thank you that we can communicate and hear what's going on there. And, Lord, you would continue to use this family and these leaders there to build your church. We pray this in Christ's name.
Father, give Matt and the family, especially Matt and Deborah, patience. There's a great work that they're seeing before them. Give them the patience, follow you, and not find themselves overcome with so many things they need to do that they launch out ahead of you. But give them the patience, bring alongside those who can do the things they can't. Help them to be welcomed in, even if they're weird. Let's reach out to the weird as well as all the rest of us. So watch over them. Bring alongside those who can help to build what you call them in the doorway to do.
Gracious Father, I thank you for this time with Matt and the technology that, once again, that enables us to do this. I thank you for the way you've gone before them and in so many ways, and they're coming here and then leaving for Norway and just the things that Matt's described here this morning. You've opened opportunities and doors and brought the right people in, and even these lawyers and accountants that were necessary to establish this denomination. But just the exciting things we see, Lord, happening in the growth of this small mother church with Matt and Deborah, and now another church out, and additional people coming and or communicating from great distance, and just showing the potential, the need for the gospel in the darkness, the spiritual darkness, even as the maybe perhaps the physical darkness there is just a reminder of the spiritual darkness that prevails year round. And so I do pray for strength and endurance for Matt and Deborah and for their children. Thank you for these men that are in the process of learning to preach and to teach, and just ground them in your word, just as Matt is leading them. And for these families that have come, and pray for additional families that Norwegian families even that will be part of the future of this denomination to ground it and establish it in that culture, and yet always faithful to your word. And certainly pray for their children, for Luke and Will and Penelope and Mariah, and just precious children, and that you would watch over them, that you would give them discernment, just as we're hearing Will's questioning and the opportunity that is for Matt and Deborah to instruct. And so I pray these kids would grow to know you and to love you, that they would be strengthened even by this environment in which they're placed and yet guided by their parents. We do pray for Luke especially, knowing that just an awkward age and this difficult time for him, and yet I pray that you would provide friends for him, provide good friends, people friends that that would become believers even perhaps through his witness, and yet that he needs that friendship with the Lord, and that he needs the courage to go face the day, knowing that there are perhaps language difficulties still as he's trying to grasp the nuances of the language. Watch over them all, Father. We just give you praise in the way you have led and provided for them. And we pray you continue to do that. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.